welcome to the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on last week's defeat at Montrose, preview this Saturday's trip to Airdrie, and it's been another turbulent week. We discuss if there's a need for change. Yes, this is your weekly dose of the Blue Toon Podcast. I am your host, Colin Byers. Along with me, as ever, is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are we this week?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks, Colin. How are you?
I'm okay. I genuinely don't know how to go with this one this week. Starting to almost feel as though we're repeating ourselves slightly. I usually look forward to my Mondays, but it's starting to get a bit kind of repetitive in terms of seeing the same old, same old.
Well, we actually recorded this in September. We're just actually playing it back for the viewers now. Yeah, it's getting more and more difficult. I'm sure we'll dissect the ins and outs of Saturday, but yeah, it's becoming a huge concern now the way that things are going at Balmer.
It's a big concern, not only because obviously we're sitting bottom of the table, but it's a concern because of the long-term repercussions of that. You know, if we do get relegated, you know, how quickly can we bounce back, if we can bounce back? You know, it took us two attempts to get up the last time when we got relegated in 2017. It took us 4 years to get promoted the previous time. In 2011 we got relegated. I just think that League 2 is a harder league than what it has been previously, you know, since the 4 years that we've been there, because obviously the sides that are coming in, the sides that have dropped out, probably when I see them back again for a wee while, other than maybe Brechin. So it does become a concern, because that trapdoor in League 2 becomes even bigger.
Yeah, it's weird. It's slightly off topic a little bit, but there was a conversation on a blog over the weekend that I read, and it was basically a lot of people were saying, with the new football manager coming out, is the quality of Scottish teams in the lower leagues now greater than what they were like 10 years ago? And also, as you were saying, teams that have dropped to League 2, that was as far as they would go, like the lowest they could go. They would rebuild for a couple of years and try and come back up. Mm-hmm. But now, with the teams that are in the Highland League, the Lowland League, and the leagues run about, because there's now that pyramid system where they can get into the division, there are a lot of teams that were good before, but they're now actually just coming through. Obviously, there's some teams with a little bit more money than others and a bit more quality. And you now think that lid has now come off that bottle, so to speak. And these teams are rising through. Obviously, Cove's been well back. You've got Kilties coming through. You've had Edinburgh. So there is teams that are in the Lowland League, Highland League, even League 2, as you said, that they're that quality coming through. So I do fear that, you know, as we record this in November, the inevitability of going down is looking more and more likely. And the likelihood of coming back at the first attempt, you know, it gets harder and harder with each time that you look at it. And as you said, there's a lot of good teams in the League 2, more competitive, and I do fear for us.
And it's not just more difficult to get back up again. It then becomes more difficult to recruit what you would perceive to be better quality players to get you out of that league, because it's a dog eat dog league there, and everybody's vying to get away from that bottom end. And it almost becomes a catch-22 situation where you're trying to build, but you're also trying to stay away from that bottom end.
Yeah, I mean, if the club thought it was difficult to recruit players this summer, I think they're in for a major wake-up for next summer, because as difficult as it has been, there has been teams, and you know, it's been well documented, there's other people comment as well, that other teams are managing to recruit well, and that's not teams who have got considerable money with them, it's teams that you'd be on a par with Peterhead, and they've recruited well. We were told in the statement by Roger that the recruitment was more and more difficult. It was difficult to attract players to Peterhead, and then we're signing players from Holland and, you know, abroad. So, you know, somewhat it doesn't match up, but if this summer was tough, I can imagine next summer being, you know, twice as difficult.
But we've managed to recruit a shedload of players. It's just, the question is, are they any better than what we've had previously? And are we just sort of scraping the barrel of the players that are, well, he's available, we'll just take him.
I think there is players within the squad that are good, and I think there is players that are better equipped, maybe not the right term, but you know they can show that they are better than a team that's sitting bottom of the table. I mean, okay, injuries are in a hell, you know, every club's got the same situation, but we've got a far bigger pool than most teams in League One. So that is an excuse I don't really buy. Yes, players like Andy McCarthy and Russell McLean being injured will not help your cause, but there has been some good players. And it seems to be if you have a good game, all of a sudden you're out of the squad, or you know, you're just not fancy and you disappear off the face of the earth. There is some big questions that need sort of answers.
And we've kind of skirted around about the subject for a number of weeks. You know, we sort of let everybody else have their say, and there will become a point, whether that's this week or next week or you know, down the line, we just have to come to a point where we just have to start asking the big questions and say, look, this isn't good enough. Changes is needed, and before it is too late.
I think I said it last week on air, I think we are potentially now too late. The way things have gone, I was more optimistic last week when we got the result against Edinburgh. It was a performance that I wouldn't say it'd been coming, but you couldn't, there was a players on there that could perform to a higher level. I felt we got that last weekend. And going by some of the things I've heard and seen from people over the weekend, the performance at Montrose, didn't see it firsthand myself, wasn't good enough. And a lot of people are questioning, you know, if that is our so-called better team, quote, best team, then we are in danger.
Yeah, it wasn't the best of games.
What was your feeling when you left the game?
You're almost... I wouldn't say there was an inevitability of it, but you almost kind of felt as though, oh well, that's it. You're it's one step forward, two steps back, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, we performed well last week. I say performed well. You know, you look at it with your sort of blue tinted glasses, and you think, well, we maybe did play well, but was it maybe a case at Edinburgh where I had an off day slightly, and that's maybe, you know, masking the performance slightly, but. You sort of left there and you thought, you couldn't even get that mad about it because it was, it seems to be a recurring thing.
I think as a supporter leaving the game and you were there on Saturday, if you've left the game and you're thinking, well, it was almost to be expected, if that sort of set in with the supporters already and people that go to the games week in, week out,
aye.
I think that's a pretty telling thing as well because it's, you're almost, you're not accepting the defeat, but you sort of think, well, it's more of a surprise if we get a result rather than, oh, we've lost this week. It's more of a surprise when you actually get something from the game.
You're almost sort of turning up thinking, well, best case scenario here is we get away with a 0-0. Because at the moment, we don't look as though we're going to score, and that certainly was the case on Saturday. We just didn't create enough chances. And I don't think it would be unfair to say, but I think had Montrose perform better in front of goal, it could have easily been 5 or 6. And that's, you know, we've seen a few folks saying that on Saturday night or Sunday morning, it could have easily been more. I mean, Tom Ritchie again performing heroics with a couple of really good saves. So you kind of come to a point where you say, well, is this where we're at? Is this acceptable?
Yeah, and I think if you're a supporter and you're thinking that is acceptable, that is maybe, some people will call it, well, you'll support your team through thick and thin. This is certainly a rough period that we're going through, but at what point do you come out and say, well, it's not actually a period anymore, this is the level we're at? Because, you know, we're now in November, we've played all the teams, it's like, well, you get a rough idea of where you're going to finish. Normally, by the time you get to this stage, you think whether you're going to be in a relegation fight, mid-table, promotion, whatever. And looking at it now, we are comfortably... I know that Clyde's only a point above us, and they're having a torrid time as well. They've recently changed their manager. Daniel Lennon's got I don't know if they've brought anyone in at the moment. I haven't heard anything.
Yeah.
So they've obviously realised that they're going in the wrong direction. They've made a change. you know, and there does become a point that you have to turn around and say, well, where is it going wrong and what do we need to do to change our fortunes?
It's okay, saying we're only a point behind Clyde, that only gets you ninth. That maybe just gets you that, okay, get an extra life, basically, you've got the playoffs. But as I said, I think the teams in League 2 are just as strong as what... it's what some of the teams are in League One. And if you go into that playoff on the back of a really poor run, no confidence, the inevitable is that you're just going to get absolutely thumped. Much like last season, we spoke about East Fife and Dumbarton being that poor that was keeping us away from them. Dumbarton ended up getting relegated via the playoffs last year as well. East Fife got cut adrift quite early on, much as it seems to be repeating this year, but we us at the bottom end. So, you know, it's okay saying we're a point behind them, and then I get some folks saying, well, we need to catch Clyde, but we're already 11 points behind Kelty. And if Kelty had managed to pick up a win on Saturday, obviously that would have been 13 points. No, that win against Kelty that we got, that one win that we've had so far this season against Kelty, it just is even more important because, you know, even a point out of that game would have been sitting on 4 points.
So, all hypothetical, but as we sit here now, do you start planning for next season being in League 2 in terms of the club, the infrastructure, and thinking, right, this is not going well, this is what we need to be doing, but we need to be basing us on League 2, or do you think... I've said before, I don't think taking in more players is going to sort it. I think you're past the stage of team meetings because, you know, there becomes a point that they become ineffective. It's like you're saying the same things over and over. I just think there's got to, you cannot continue like this and think, well, we're just waiting for a change in fortune, we're waiting for a lucky break, or we're waiting for players to come back. That only works so long. Then, I mean, at the moment, this is the quality of the squad that we've got. And, you know, your league table doesn't lie. It went a light year over a period of 36 games. I think something's got to change somewhere.
Yeah, and it as you said, it comes to a point where you just say, well, enough is enough. We need to do something, or else we will. You know, if you make a change and it doesn't work, at least you've then tried. But it's that old thing of, you know, you keep trying the same thing over and over and over again and expecting things to change, and it winna.
No, absolutely. If you continue to do the same things over and over, you will get the same results. And unfortunately, the results that we're getting aren't the wins. And I think that's pretty telling. I just wonder if it was a minority of people that were in the strong campaign of Jim Out bandwagon. That grew to an extent and sort of gone a little bit quiet over recent weeks. If Clyde had gotten, all hypothetical, of course, another two wins, you are massively cut adrift. I mean, at the moment, we're looking at League 2. I mean, I know some people, I spoke to a guy at work this morning, and he was said, oh, but if we get ninth, at least we've got a chance of a playoff. But as we've just spoken about, and I mentioned to him as well, just because you get the playoff doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win it. If you go into a breath of confidence and another team finish third or second, whatever, they've been winning games. They know how to handle leads, what to do in difficult situations. We just don't seem to hear that at the moment of characters to try and get you out of a difficult run. I mean, like I said, I don't know what point a difficult run in a tough period then becomes, well, it's actually reality. We're just not that good.
And the thing about the playoff as well, and this is obviously well down the line because we're only still in November, but the thing about the playoff is for you to survive that playoff, you have to have four really good performances in a row. And that, at the moment, doesn't look likely. Whereas if we have two bad performances, that's us relegated.
Yeah, and that's a stark thing that's staring you in the face. You came that you're potentially one bad performance. You could get beat away from home 3-0. In the way our season is going currently, okay, this is only November, but you couldn't see you scoring three goals in a game. Mm. You'd be lucky if you scored three goals in a month.
Yeah.
Just the way we're going. And this is not just a build-up of one game at Montrose and playing poor and then this comes out. This has been ongoing for a while now. And it's probably a build-up of the last 6-7 weeks. And I think more so the Elgin game, getting beat 4-0 at home, your keeper getting man of the match. And it's just sort of snowballed for there. The Edinburgh game was obviously, looking back on it now last week, it was almost like the oddball in terms of it was a semi-decent performance. But that performance last season wouldn't have been deemed good. That would have actually been one of the poorer performances, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
When you get your perspective looking at it.
Yeah, because I think if we've said this before. It's not just the defeats. You can maybe take a defeat now and again, but it's the manner of the defeats. It's just the way that, you know, that first goal goes in against us, and we just seem to just sort of capitulate, and it all just falls apart. There doesn't seem to be any drive. There doesn't seem to be any sort of, even for the dugout as well. Sometimes you just think there's nae, it doesn't seem to be getting angry about it anymore, and that's a concern.
Do you think that Jim's almost, I hate to use the word of this particular word, but he's almost resigned to the fact that sometimes when we go goal down, he knows that team probably better than most. He sees it in training, him and Davey. Is there almost a sense of realisation of this squad at this moment in time? He said, and Jim said it in the past, that there's players that he's going to look to move on, that the quality's not there, or their drive, as you've just mentioned, is not quite there. Do you think there's almost a realisation for him that actually this players that we bought in July, start August, aren't just quite up to the level that we need?
That's kind of going back to what I was saying. It was a case of, well, we were just bringing them in because they were available. Are they going to add anything to the squad? It's unlikely. I mean, there are players that I think probably could be good enough to add something to the team, but they're not getting a look in. And that's the bizarre sort of situation that we're in. We're picking the same players. We're picking the same formation week in, week out, other than maybe an injury or a suspension here or there. And we're getting the same results.
Yeah, there's nothing I can disagree with there. It's difficult to watch. You know, there's games that you go to, and very rarely you go to the game and think, yeah, we're in for a tough afternoon. But these thoughts as you're going to the game become more and more, you know, they're happening more often. And this is not just the thoughts on us. We you know, there's a few guys I go to work with, and they go to the games pretty regular, nay, every single one of them, but they go to the majority of the home games. And even they're now starting to say, it's more and more difficult to get yourself up for a game at Balmoor because you came for it's coming. You can predict, maybe not quite the team selection information, but you came roughly the way the game's going to go. Be a lot of huffing and puffing, but really not much quality on show. I think that's pretty telling as well, and supporters are saying that amongst themselves.
I mean, jumping ahead slightly, but we're next four. We've got Airdrie away on Saturday, Dunfermline away the following week, and then we've got Kelty in away at Clyde at home, and that takes us up until Christmas, and that'll be the halfway point of the season as well. I mean, it's almost saying it every week again, but the next four games and the next month seems to be the bigger month. If we go having gone through those four games and not recorded a win, I mean, that is just absolutely disastrous.
Well, at the moment, you're looking like you're going to have to get something for Airdrie, and you're going to have to beat Clyde. And I think if you lost to Clyde, or you didn't make ground on them, I think even if recording now a draw, to me, no, I wouldn't take that. Dunfermline, yeah, there is games that you look at and you go, right, okay, you pick your battles, and I wouldn't think being Dunfermline would be one of them. You need to be, looking at it now, I think you need to get three wins out of that four games. I really do. If you've got any hopes of trying to even finish ninth, I think you need to get three wins, and considering when I got that since July, I think it's a very tough order.
Because if you go into the Clyde game having not won any of the previous year, but you beat Clyde and somehow Clyde have sort of failed to pick up any wins as well, and then you go above Clyde because of that win. Just because you've won beating Clyde doesn't necessarily mean that's it, things are going to be all rosy again. I mean, that time we could be 15, 16, 18 points behind 8th. And when I get a momentum going to try and get us out, you know, as I said, we're going to be 15 points. You know, looking at 5 wins to get that clawed back again, and as you said, that doesn't look likely.
I'd be amazed if we got 5 wins, and I generally kind of see where the wins come from. I think the psychological thing of if you can beat Clyde, but that's where we're 4th game out of that run. You've still got, you know, Kelty and Airdrie play that you'd consider getting points off of. So very, very tough game. I mean, we said it before, there's no easy games in this league, but that with that four teams there, I generally think you need to try and get three wins out of them.
Yeah, it's really difficult. And, you know, you're going to the Airdrie game, they're a back off two wins in a row. Dunfermline's obviously riding high to top the league. Kelty might be the game we could get that win. So then you could go into the Clyde game and thinking, well, we've got a win, let's build on that. Two wins out of two, and then suddenly things change a bit. As I said, you just kind of see it happening.
No, I kind of see things changing. I think there has to be a change somewhere. I don't think the recruitment has been good enough, and I don't think that's also been challenged enough. It's okay saying there's one or two players that haven't quite made it, and we've got a squad the size of ours. I think it should be challenged more often in terms of we were told that it was difficult to get players in, and then we've got players coming from Holland and, you know, abroad. It's not been good enough, and until folk come out and say, look, it's not been good enough. I generally think that, you know, you look at the comments over the last couple of weeks, there's been less and less maybe said about it in terms of the games, but, you know, it's still the same problems. Nothing's really changed. And, you know, it becomes a point that people need to say, actually, the recruitment isn't been good enough. The players, some of the players, and I certainly think there is players within that squad that I think are capable. I actually think there's players within our team that could actually play at a higher level. But based on what we've seen this season, it's just not there. I don't know whether it comes down to confidence, that whether once you get a run of games where you just kind of get out of that rut, you need something to change. And like I said, something's got to change somewhere, because at the moment we're just plodding along and you're actually more surprised when you get a positive result than you do a negative result.
I've been thinking about this since Saturday, really, and I think myself, well, where do we stand? Where do we think there needs to be a change? And I will give you my honest opinion, and I want to say, yes, we need a change in management, and I want to say, no, we don't need a change in management. I'm going to be right through the middle, simply because I think it, Jim, when I walk away, and I don't think that the board and the chairman will sack him, I think, rightly or wrongly, and I'm not saying that is the right or wrong, but I just think that between the two parties, I think they will stick it out, whether or not that's to the detriment of the club's League One status or long-term future or whatever. But I just think between the two parties, I think they will just keep going as they are. Many people will say, well, that's fine because Jim's done a really good job. And I appreciate he has done over the piece. Other folks will say, well, we need to get rid of him or else we will inevitably get rid of him. I that's the kind of vibe I get between the what's happening. So I'm kind of sitting here thinking, well, do we go all out and say yes, we need a change, or do we just say no, we'll stick with man? I kind of say either way, because I just think between the two parties, I think there will be a change.
Yeah, I agree with the majority of it. I think, yeah, like you, whether this can happen or not, I don't know, but I think a fresh pair of eyes need to come in. And I don't mean that being getting rid of Jim or Davey. I think they need... Sometimes when you're in that situation, you can be too blinkered to see if it's actually going on around about you. So do they need a fresh pair of eyes? Somebody sitting in the stand saying, well, actually, this isn't working. We could maybe do this. Do you need somebody looking at sort of video analogy, that sort of thing, looking at the tactics and looking at players' performance? Now, again, it's a lot less of a level doing in League One, but they maybe need help and support from somewhere. What I would say is if the club or Jim decided that this was the last season of Jim being at the helm, one way or another, whether he wanted to walk away and they had a newer contract or whether it was a mutual partner at the end of the season, I would like to see, if it is to be somebody else coming in next season, them to be given enough time. Nay, somebody coming in end of May, start of June, and having to do the same process we've done this season next year. I would like that person to come in March, April. If we're already relegated, or you know, the chances are we're in a playoff, get this person in. Get them in with Jim and Davey. See, right, this is what we've been doing. Maybe isn't it quite worked. Somebody with a fresh pair of eyes. Because I don't think if there is next season, if there is a change somewhere within the club and the management team, the coaching team, you've got to give the next person coming in as much chance as they can. Now, what's nice to say that Jim wouldn't be here next season. But I do think that Jim and Davey need support from somewhere. Now, I came that they've... I mean, you've got to remember last season, the experience that they had, they had Simon Ferry along with them, they had Derek Lyle, and you had guys like Scott Brown, Ryan Conroy. These were experienced guys at Beardy. They sort of knew what the club was about. And we've had a lot of players leave. We've had a lot of players come in. So, again, the club needs support. And I think that's maybe a route to go down. But like I said, how practical it is, I don't know. But I certainly think that Jim and Davey could be dealing with a bit more support and maybe somebody coming in that can look at it from an outside point of view.
I think they missed a trick in terms of the coaching side of things, because obviously Simon has left, Derek had left, and that's kind of two big characters, guys that's taken away their sort of input and things like that. And you feel as though maybe Jordan was just kind of thrown into it, because of the timings and things like that. So I think maybe they missed a trick there by not getting somebody else in to help out in terms of the coaching side of things.
Yeah, like I said, I think there's got to be support come from somewhere. We've lost key players and guys that were very football orientated and switched on. I think now that there's younger players within the team or players that have come from a background out with Scotland, the Scottish game is different to most leagues that they'll see him play in. So I think whilst Jordan's got the coaching side within him, not to say that it's come too soon, but I think I get more and more support for these guys, because obviously Jordan hasn't been doing it long. We know that Simon had such a big role to play in the training last season along with Derek Lyle. So again, support needed to help the management team out and to try and get us out of this situation that we find ourselves in.
We should maybe talk about the game itself, because we've kind of gotten away from it slightly. But it was a poor game. It was no fireworks. A bit of a damp squib.
Oh.
There's my. There you go. There's my pun in for the week.
My word.
As I said at the beginning, I mean, it really could have been a lot more had Rory McAllister in particular had gotten his shooting boots on. There was just the one change in the team lineup. O'Keefe came in for the suspended Julian Carey, which meant that Jack Brown moved back into midfield, and they had O'Keefe and Dow as the front two. Still had players missing, although we had a full bench. Injured was still Hamish Ritchie. Paul Dixon was unavailable. Russell McLean, Ola, and obviously Lauren Wiken is still missing. But no Max Gillis in the squad, no Cody McLeod in the squad, no Hefs Allen in the squad, and no Christian Kazuka as well. These players, we've maybe touched on it already, we think these players are players that could maybe have helped out in terms of changing the game slightly. I certainly think that somebody like Hefsala would turn a game round for us.
Yeah, we've seen very little of them. We've seen he's been good. Also, he was called up to the Egypt under-21s as well, so he's a decent player. Matt Gillis, I think, could also do a job. It was at the concussion he was still out with. Mm. I think they've got
to be. He was on the bench last week, so I don't know get why he wasn't on the bench.
Yeah,
this week
a strange one. What I would say, I think it would be harsh to drop Danny Strachan to put in Matt Gillis.
Yeah.
That would probably be the counter productive for that one. Hefsala coming out, Connor, there's players that I think could be coming in today to do a job. Like you said, we've stuck with the sort of the same players that aren't just quite reaping the rewards of it. But I think players like Hefsala, if he's fit and available, it would be strange that he's not in the match squad.
Because he's a player that it's different. He's different from what we've had this season, different from what we've maybe had for two or three seasons in terms of just getting the ball at his feet, taking on players, and as I said before, just getting a bit of excitement within the fans and within the team as well.
He's a ball carrier. He's one of them players that you get in the ball, he can run 20, 30 yards, get you up the pitch, win a free kick, and then all of a sudden the game's changing in your favour. Like I said, if he's fit, I don't know why he's not in the squad. If he hadn't picked up an injury in the international duty that he was on, what would have been 5-6 weeks ago now, you'd have thought you'd have heard something, had there been anything. So yeah, slightly surprising that he's nae involved.
But then he and Cody and the other guys, they played in the bounce game on the Tuesday. So clearly they weren't injured. There's obviously another issue there. I mean, Cody as well, you know, we're a left wing back. We're playing Jack Wilkie there, naturally his position. He's done okay. I just think it, you know, certain aspects of Cody's game might be a better option than Fit Wilkie is.
Yeah, we've said that for a while now, square pegs and round holes. And when we've got a squad the size that we do, I don't think that should be happening, to be honest. I think every position should be covered. And, you know, on paper it is, for some reason, just isn't quite work with that. But, yeah, as you said, there's players that played in the bounce game that all of a sudden were not in the match squad. And certainly, now, Kane, you kind of play all 27, 28 players that are available to play and to be selected. But I think there is players that, you know, you would think would be involved in the match squad when they're available. So it's strange that some of them aren't. But again, we'll maybe find out with them the coming weeks if there is an injury or something there.
The three goals then, they were all in the second half. Two own goals and then the break goal and the break for the third one. I mean, folk will sort of bemoan our luck and say, oh, the gods of football are against us, we having two own goals scored in the same game. However, they're virtually the same own goals, if you see what I mean. They're both crosses coming in from Steve's on his weaker right foot, it has to be said as well. That I think that is a problem that with it during the game in particular. Too many crosses coming in, and we're not stopping the crosses from coming in. And as I said, the two own goals come out because, and especially the first one, you know, Ryan Starkins flicked it in. Two defenders going for the same ball, and the second one, David Wilson's one, just gets his header completely wrong and goes into the net. And it's passed there, Richie, before he can do anything. So we can say, oh, it's bad luck, two own goals, but we've got to stop the crosses from coming in. If it's not a Peterhead player that's putting it in, the likelihood is, I think, especially the first one, it's Webster that's going to be knocking it in. And then the second one, I think initially Alan was awarded the goal, but it's quite clearly an own goal.
I was delighted when I heard Ryan Strachan had scored and then followed up by Davey Wilson. It was just unfortunate they were both own goals. You've hit a nail on the head. You can bemoan your luck. And you're right, Dan, when you're at the bottom of the table, things like that, if you're at the top end of the table, they wouldn't go in the back of the net. But you've got to stop the cross. Now, you could argue that Danny Strachan's done the right thing in terms of his position. He's forced Steve's onto his weaker right foot. But when you can still put in a cross like he is on his weaker right foot, you've got to try and close it down. Now, I can't remember if it was the first goal or the second goal. Steve gets the ball and he's almost got time to look at where he's putting the cross. And he just felt if Danny could maybe try and get a little bit closer. And as we said, although this poor run they were on, Danny's probably one of the more consistent players over the last 2-3 weeks. Mm-hmm. I just felt if you could get a little bit closer and try and block that cross coming in, try and maybe even force it into the middle of the park or something. But he's done halfway right, he's gone on his weaker right foot. Yeah, the luck gets in the way. Strachan's has gone straight in. As you said, two defenders going for the same thing. There's got to be better communication. Davey Wilson's, he's got it all wrong. It's a good finish, to be fair, but it's unfortunate that it's in the marine keeper's net.
I would say as well that kind of situation, it comes out because we're sitting so deep. You know, we're playing a back five and we're sitting so deep as well. We're allowing sides to come on to us. We're allowing Montrose to come on to us. So although the crosses come in, you've still got your three centre-halves there. You would think somebody could deal with it. Okay, as I said, the second one, Wilson's tried to deal with it and it's just come off his head the wrong way. You've got two players going for the same ball in the first one. So, you know, okay, could we say stop the cross? the cross has come in, but we need to deal with these things a lot better. And I was saying earlier on, we're not dealing with balls coming out of the box. We're not dealing with like second balls as well, because I think it was the first one. The cross had come in, it was headed out, but it was the blue shirts that were swarming around about the bar, and we were sort of just standing looking at it.
Yeah, you could pick fault where every goal is conceded. You could say, well, why, you had to stop the cross, but why is the cross been able to come in terms of, well, why is the ball gone wide? And it's because we're too deep. As you rightly said, you're defending almost within your own box. And if you've got a back five, naturally when you attempt to clear it or you do get a clearance, he's going to fall time and throw his player because they're in the attacking third. They can recycle the ball and put it back out and get the cross in. We've got to defend it better. We can't be sitting that deep. I mean, at that stage of the game, it was 0-0 against Montrose. Are Montrose a better team in this? Yeah, the league table suggests that, but when you go player to player, I don't think there's, it sounds crazy to say, but I don't think there's that many players that much better than that we have got on our day. You play at a high level. I don't think there's that many Montrose players. And I cannot sort of go against everything we've said for the last 20, 25 minutes. But on paper, I just feel that there is players that we've got that are better than that you match up against when throws. So to be sitting in our own box with him, inside our 18-yard box, it's far too deep, and you'll never be able to try and push up a pitch and try and get anything for the game defending so deep.
And I was looking at the stats for the season so far in terms of the league, and one that kind of surprised me was the amount of fouls that we've conceded. And we've conceded one of the fewest amount of fouls in the league so far. Now, that tells me that we're not getting close enough to the opposition. We're allowing them too much time in the ball, and we're not getting in, and we're not fighting for enough for like second balls and things like that.
Yeah, we're too nice. And before, I think teams didn't mind coming up to Balmour now. I think maybe 18 months ago, 2 years, up to Balmour, the wind, the condition. The pitch has never been a problem, but, we're a physical team. And now I think it's players that, I think the style of football Jim is trying to change, and I get that. But we're now made aware, we'll try and get the ball on the deck, we'll try and play the fancy passes, or to an extent. But I just think we're too nice. We didn't break the play up enough in the middle of the pitch. We allow teams to dictate what they're going to do when they come up, when we play them. I just think at times we're too nice, and we need to break up the play in midfield much more than we're doing. If you said we conceded one of the fewest fouls, I would rather we're at the top of that chart, that we're breaking play up. Yes, you'll encounter more yellow cards, but if you've got a team of size, you should be able to rotate the team better.
Just a word on the third goal as well. It was for a counter attack. It was on the break. I just, when you look at it again, I just wonder if Richie could have started, or his starting line could have been a bit higher, because by the time the shot comes in, or sorry, the ball across, he's actually inside his 6 yard box. I just think that once Danny's made that initial tackle just inside the right half, and the ball goes so far in front of him, I think with his starting position, he could have maybe kind of mopped that up a bit, but he's on the back foot. He's going backwards as the Montrose players is going towards the goal. I just think if they started a wee bit higher, he maybe would have been able to deal with it. Having said that, it was 2-0. We're in the 90th minute. It wouldn't have made any difference. But I'm just little kind of things like that you kind of pick up on.
Did you sense that there was a 3-2 Peter he'd win on if Richie had maybe come for it? Is it that breakaway? You know what? I had the same sort of thoughts when I seen the highlights. The only thing I can maybe think of is last week for Richie coming for the cross, his positioning.
Yeah.
I generally just wonder, was that in the back of his mind, that his positioning, his starting position? He maybe felt last week his starting position wasn't good enough, and he's trying to overcompensate by getting the ball. Was that in the back of his mind? As you said, wasn't I going to change the game? We're 2-0 down anyway. But I just wonder whether that was in the back of his mind. As a keeper, he'll have looked at it, he'll have seen the highlights, he'll have looked over it with Jim and Davian during the week, but I just wonder if that lot of niggling doubt he hit in the back of his mind maybe affected his starting position. But as you rightly said, we're 2-0 down at that point in the game, it wasn't going to make any difference.
I was just going to pick up on a couple of things that the manager said after the game in his post match. Got some quotes here. First one, no complaints. Best team won. We're not threatening enough in front of goal. That's okay. You can say the best team had won, but not threatening enough in front of goal is a theme that we've mentioned a few times already this season.
Yeah, we are desperately lacking at a striker that's going to finish, but you're only as good as the quality you've got in midfield and, you know, in defending. Munro is, you know, they were the better team, but I think there was large periods that we allowed them, going by, you know, obviously we've spoken before and what you said about Saturday. And Montrose were worthy winners, but I think there was large periods of the game we allowed them to dictate the way the game was going to go.
But I think the first 15-20 minutes it was quite even. I think it was two teams, obviously we're coming into that game on such a bad run. They got thumped the previous week 4-0 by Airdrie, so there was obviously that kind of Nibbleson maybe smarting a little bit still from that a little bit. But once they took control of the game, there was only ever going to be one winner.
We should have been smarting as well, because we were 1-0 up against Edinburgh and we've got a red card and we've failed to win the game. So we should have that sort of mentality as well. As we sort of feel they partly robbed, because obviously it was a red card that I felt was justified. But we played okay, we played well, we didn't get the result. We should have been in the same mindset as Montrose. Well, we didn't actually have a good result last week. Montrose could have been there for the taking. And the first 50 minutes, you said, it was more evenly balanced than it has been in recent weeks. But then we've got to go and try and impose ourselves on the game, and it almost felt the opposite way, where we're maybe happy to take a draw.
His second one is, that's a strong team apart from Julian. That's as strong as we get. That's an alarming quote from him. That's a direct quote for the manager. That is as strong as we can get.
Yeah, I mean, the words of that's as strong as we can get. Obviously, I think, maybe slight tongue-in-cheek in terms of there's still Russell to come back, and you'd probably hate Andy McCarthy as well. But, you know, we've said for numerous weeks now, them two players, when I change, you know, we're going to magically become a mid-table team. If, you know, it's not a case of if that is a direct quote, and this is a manager that sees his team week in, week out on the pitch, on the training field, and for that comment to come out, I think that's a, I wouldn't even say it's a warning to players, it's just a case of that's where he feels it's at. So what do we now do? He's made that comments publicly in November, so I'm sure he's probably spoken with Jordan and David beforehand, thinking, well, how can we improve it? And then I think throwing players at it. So what are we now doing as a club to make this players better?
I don't know if it sounds as though he's maybe is he throwing the players under the bus slightly, or is it just a case of, well, that's as strong as we can get, and that's it. I'm just putting my hands up here and just thinking, well, that's as strong as we get, and that's as good as we're going to be.
I don't think it's necessarily throwing players under the bus. If he's come out and said that's as strong as we're going to be, it's almost that this is where we are at as a club. It's almost like he's saying, what more do you want me to do? Because, I mean, you can bemoan the transfers coming in and whatnot. There was a large overhaul in the squad. I wouldn't say he's been defeatist as such. It's almost like this is the squad I've got. What more can I actually be doing with them? But that doesn't mean to say that it's right.
No, we're in the mire, really. We need to just I wouldn't say just get on with it, but I just think it's going to get worse before it gets any better. And I know that's difficult to say. Just go through some of the comments that came in then. Neil Thompson, first half was fine and competitive. Second half, we were never in it. And when the first goal went in, you kind of knew that we were never coming back. Typical 2-1 goals were our undoing. Felt the substitutions were a bit odd again. It's something we've picked up in the last couple of weeks in terms of like how much substitutions or using enough on the bench. The subs were McCarthy came on for O'Keefe. I don't think O'Keefe playing up front is working. He came off at in 57 minutes. I don't think that role for him is working. He hasn't finished a game. He hasn't had a full 90 minutes, ironically, since the Elgin game. And that was back 2 months ago. I think that there's an issue there. Whereas obviously when Jack playing up front last week, and he seemed to be okay. So obviously that was a switch. David Wilson came on for Jason Brown. Jason was on a yellow card quite early on, so I think the inevitable of, well, you know, Jason against Rory. Somebody wasn't going to finish that game. And then Jordan came on for Jack. Again, another surprising one. Whereas Jack seems to be playing reasonably well. He still comes off. You know, the three midfield, you know, Hewitt and Hottie obviously is a trialist. It just seems to be that it doesn't matter how well he's playing, he's the one who's going to be coming off. And you look at the substitutions as well, you know, as I said, Wilson came on for Jason. It was only 1-0 down. 25 minutes to go. So take Jason off, stick on another midfielder or stick on another forward-thinking player. Try and change things up again. But it's almost, again, like we're just happy to, you know, get away with a 1-0 loss.
I can understand the Jason Brown substitution. As you said, he was on a booking. And I think up against Rory McAllister, he's a man that he would know the buttons to push for Jason, and potentially a red card was incoming. The substitutions are classed as safe. They aren't going to change the game. It's like-for-like substitutions almost, and it's nothing that's... I mean, you can turn around and say, well, one week he's making subs, the next week he's not, but it's the subs... You try and impact the game. And I don't know how any of them substitutions in a like-for-like situation would change the game. I sort of feel a bit hard. I feel a bit sorry for O'Keefe. He's not a natural striker, but with the lack of options we've got up front, he's almost like sort of not forced into that position. But it's almost like he said, well, if you want to play, you're going to have to go up front. But it just, as you said, it's not quite working. And as you rightly pointed out, he hasn't completed 90 minutes. And I'm sure he's frustrated as well, as a lot of the players are, but the substitutions on this particular game, I just felt were too safe.
Leah Clement and Stephen Donovan kind of say the same thing. Always support the team, always hope that they're going to win, but it is time for a change. Leah Clement says, he's running out of patience, things don't seem to be getting any better. We're now cut adrift with Clyde, and Stephen Donovan kind of goes on a little bit and says that we're now going backwards. That's the only way that things are looking for Peterhead. Paul Rattray says 6 points after 14 games is utterly ridiculous. Morrison and McAnally out. Now that brings up another kind of issue.
That's another story.
The chairman. Christopher Bruce, get him out. It's been long enough. I'm assuming that he means the manager. Lindsay Finlay actually got no words. Scott Finlay, to think that if we'd kept a few of the players from last season, or, you know, given them a little bit more money, now we've wasted money on a raft of signings that will probably cost us more in the long run. That cost isn't just financial now, but it'll be a cost of our League One status. Going to be hard to attract anyone of quality whilst playing in League Two when you see the shite that we've bought in since. His words, not mine. Can I echo what we said at the beginning? It's not just a cost of, you know, this season, but, you know, in the seasons to come.
Yeah. Go the very first comment you read there. What was it again? If you can read it out, the first one you read out. I just want to pick out something from it. It was
Scott Finlay.
So always supported the team.
Ah, yes. So Leah Esselman says, I'll always support the team and hope they win every game, but I'm running out of patience. Things don't seem to get any better, and now we're now cut adrift from Clyde.
Yeah, see, that one, I think you could blanket a lot of supporters under that category, where they're not seeing an improvement. They'll always back the team. Every week they support their team, but nothing seems to be improving. And you can understand that at the start of the season, things take a while to gel in and all that. But I think that's a really interesting comment. Again, I appreciate the ones of, you know, the League One status and it'll cost us more. I'm not quite sure that games players, mere money would have actually been enough to keep them. I came that there is teams in the Highland League and the Lowland League that can offer substantial amount of money more than what Peter Heed can. But I've mentioned it a few times now, and it's going back to Rodgers' statement. They said, I'll be a paraphrase, that he said he and the club struggled to get players in because of other clubs having more money, and we struggled to bring players north of Glasgow, basically. And then all of a sudden, within a week, we're signing players from out with the UK. So there's something just wasn't quite tying up there. And I think we're almost paying for it now. I think these players in last season's team could have done well, but I just think when you've lost players likes of Simon Ferry, Scott Brown, Gary Fraser, Ryan Conroy, Brett Long, and a raft of players, it's very difficult to replace with quality. And I do think, like you said a few times, that we've maybe bought for buying sake in terms of when we played Aberdeen in the Cup, we didn't have a team. And it was literally anybody who was free to sign. We took on Simpson and there was somebody else, my name's escaped me. We were basically taken on for 3 weeks so we could register to get through the fixtures in the Cup. And, you know, that is a team of Peter Heed's stature. And I say stature in terms of the good rapport that they've got with ex-players and how they're seen within the footballing community. Not just in Peter Heed, but within the grand scheme of the Scottish leagues, a well-run club. For that situation to be happening, yeah, I think there's more problems than just the starting team that's, you know, starting 11 on the pitch.
Just a couple more. Peter Cow, utterly useless. He needs to get out of the club now. Chloe Hardy, a striker is needed. Andrew Begley said even Clyde sacked Danny Lennon. Gary Tomlinson, Mark Nally is getting a wage for nothing really when you look at it. Turning up week in and week out and changing nothing, hoping it'll work out for him. He's the quietest man I've ever seen as a spectator in most games. I can't even get my words out. And last thing, I'll go to Graham McLean. He says the sack Jim Brigade out of their boxes again. Easy to say, but who do we replace him with? I personally still think we'll get out of this. Not saying it'll be easy, but we still have players missing and no recognised striker. But hopefully their fitness worries will ease soon. So obviously, as you can imagine, the vast majority of the comments is negative towards the manager or even the chairman, as a couple of them have said. A couple of points that Graham makes there about the first one being it's okay to get to sack him, but who do you replace him with? I'm quite sure there'd be a lot of people would be interested in taking over Peter Heed. I think it'd probably be an attractive job for a few people. And off the top of my head, David Robertson, I think, is still available. I think he's back in this country as well, so he might be one that it could be interested. I think he's still biding in Aberdeen as well, which obviously means he's not got too far to go. Is Jordan going to take it on? You know, he might take it on for a trial basis and take it on. Paul Dixon, you know, do we give him the opportunity? These are obviously just ones that have come off the top of my head, but there are people you would think would be interested.
Yeah, I think Peter Heed is an attractive proposition to quite a few guys. I mean, it says so much a Jim out brigade. I think that something has to give. Now, I like I said, we've spoken about 10 minutes ago. I think there is support needed somewhere. Now, whether some people do want a change in changing manager, and they're entitled to do so. In terms of, you know, who do you replace him with? That's the club to sort out. These are the guys that are paid in the board to think. Well, they've got to the club's best interests at heart, and if they think that Jim is the right man to get them out of this situation, then, you know, attentively say, okay, that's fine if they really do believe that he is the man. If not, make a change. Now, Jim has been here 11 years. I wouldn't say, you know, you take him in one day and you say, right, that's it, we're having a change. Take him on, but take somebody, you know, use the experience that we've got with Jim. He's been at the club 11 years. He kenns the club inside out. Mm-hmm. So if you're taking some, Jim's not going to be around, you know, all the time. There is going to be a change at some point. And, you know, is Jim's enthusiasm still there? There was a comment just a minute ago there that he's one of the quietest guys you know, in the dugout. Is he now starting to lose his motivation for the team? And, you know, his passion, he's been doing it 11 years. Sometimes a change is as good as a rest. And whether Jim feels that and the board, that might come out in time. But I certainly think if you're a coach looking to come into the management fray, you could almost hedge your bets and say Peter Hay would be a League Two club next season. You know, and somebody might want to take it on. You get him 2 years and say, well, the first year could be definitely a rebuilding year. But if you can look at the squad and get them up, then you've got that other year to play with, like a rolling contract. So, I certainly think Graham's also right that if you get a striker in to score goals, it helps the team out. And, you know, Rusty can score goals, but, you know, you can't rely on one person.
That comment there about the no recognised striker, that kind of goes back to what we were saying about the recruitment. We only have Russell McLean, Ola Adeyemo and Jordan Brown as actual recognised strikers. And I'll come on to a point about Kazuka in a minute. But, you know, we transfer listed Rusty at the end of the season. So you're expecting him to leave. We then don't really replace him. We've replaced him with Ola Adeyemo, who you just need to look at his track record. Isn't going to get you 15, 20 goals in a season anyway. Obviously, Rusty then gets an operation, which then puts him out even longer than they would have been at the start of the season. There's a little a relapse in a there. But, you know, what the recruitment has done is kept bringing in another defender, another midfielder, another defender, another midfielder. So we knew that we had there's got to be an issue of lack of bodies up front, but we didn't seem to have been able to do anything about it. I know getting a decent striker in this league is going to be really difficult because once you've got one, you will try and hold on to that player as much as you can. So I didn't buy into the fact that we've got no recognised striker. That's due to the recruitment side of things, like, again.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't argue with it. It's we went into the summer window knowing that Rusty was transfer listed. It was put out in a statement. The club confirmed it. So you knew the likelihood of him still being here at the end of the transfer window, if he hadn't needed the operation, was very slim to none. You'd have thought he'd have gone somewhere. So you knew he was going. And then we kind of really replaced him. You mentioned Jordan Brown in that criteria, strikers. I think that's a bit loose term. I don't think he's a striker. I think he's very much an attacking midfielder. Even then, it's like a shadow striker sort of thing. I don't think he's got to be the man to get you goals. You're really lacking up front, and that's something that I think should have been addressed. Now, whether they have tried numerous different candidates and it just hasn't quite worked out for one reason or another, that's a different story. But I just think, the way we're going just now, taking in defenders and midfielders, isn't going to solve the striking problem.
No, and that's where we've been left. So, just quickly, as I said, the Christiana Kazuka wasn't in the squad, wasn't mentioned on Tuesday's game. Obviously, he's been out for a number of weeks. Go to the website, he's no longer on the website as a Peter Hay player. But, no. Where nobody said anything. This is where the communication, I guess, with the club is a bit lacking sometimes. If he has left, just let us ken.
Yeah, if he has left for whatever reason, it was completely different, but I seen a tweet from Brentford today. There's an ongoing story with Ivan Tony. And it was basically one sentence from Brentford saying, they're aware that there is a story going on. Ivan Tony is working with the FA. Brentford will not make any more comment. That was the statement.
Yeah.
Could we need something to say that a player has left? If that is the case, there is maybe another reason. There is maybe something more to it. But if he's no longer going to be playing football for Peter Hay, just put a statement that Christian has left the club by mutual consent, the club will not make any further comment.
Well, they did
and it, everybody's aware.
They did it with Craig Simpson and Jamie Redmond at the end of the window, where they said that those two are have left the club now. So they can do it, but it just, I reckon why they would have. And again, but obviously there's obviously reasons why it's happened. We don't know why it's happened. We could speculate, but it's another forward It's another striker that you've brought in specifically to play in a role, and then you didn't play him.
You're saying it makes more speculation, and it does, but you see, if a club, not just Peterhead, any club, just put out a statement saying he's left by mutual consent, well, making no further comment, then you know where you stand. It's like, okay, he's no longer here. For whatever reason, the club have made that decision, or the players made the decision with the club that he's no longer going to be here, and that's the end of it. Now you look at the website and there's no mention of him. He's been mentioned in match reports, match previews, or anything over the last couple of weeks. Then you start speculating. Rightly or wrongly, as a supporter, you'll think, well, he was in the team 2 months ago. What's happened there? And you start looking at it mer and mer. Just a simple... There's maybe reasons why it doesn't come out. There's maybe contract obligations that something cannot be said. I don't know the ins and outs. But it would just be nice to hear that mer open and transparent conversations.
Right, we should move on to set up this game before we get too much into other things. We do have Airdrie coming up this Saturday away from home, as we touched on earlier on. It is the first of four massive games. I think that we've got ahead four games that might just tell us where our season is going at the halfway stage. So Airdrie, 7th in the table, it's another ground where we traditionally haven't done particularly well in over the last few years. It's 6 years since we've won down there. They maybe haven't had the best of seasons themselves, having missed out in promotion last season through the playoffs. They had 5 without a win, and then they've gone 2 in a row back-to-back wins in the last 2 games. So what are you kind of expecting from this one on Saturday?
I admire your slight optimism in your statement there of where our season is going. I probably hazard a guess where our season is going. Like you said, Airdrie is now going back to back wins, which must be fantastic to do. We haven't done it. You could sit here and go, yeah, we're in for a difficult game, we need to keep it tight, yada yada. The basic is we need to start getting wins. And I'm really not caring how the performance is. We could go to a back 8, but we need to get some sort of result. And I said that I think you need 3 wins out of the 4, therefore this one cannot be a draw, because I don't think we're going to get anything against Dunfermline. It's as black and white as that for me. We've got to win. By however means, it's got to be 3 points.
We've got to start winning games. So how do we start winning games then?
Well, I think we've got to be more on the front foot. And I think, as you mentioned, the first 15 minutes against Montrose was okay. And then we just sort of retreated. And if you're 0-0 and you're sitting in your own box, I think that's a problem. I think the so-called back 5 of the wing-backs was sort of semi-working. If you've got Wilkie on one side and Danny Strachan on the other, they try to give you the width. I would just like to see us go, 2 up top. I think Andy McCarthy must be there or thereabouts for starting a game. Him coming in would be a massive difference. I think maybe O'Keefe and Dow up front have got to get closer to get them try something. I don't think long balls is the answer either. I'm pretty sure Airdrie's got a really towering centre-back. I think one of them is. Could be wrong, but pretty sure one of them, their left-side centre-back, is a towering fella. So long balls isn't going to work. But we've got to be more on the front foot. I don't think sitting back and trying to play for a draw is the right answer either. I think you've got to try and get the 3 points.
If we go down there, try and get something out of the game, try and attack, look as though we're attacking, and then maybe lose the game. Say, well, okay, maybe we've lost the game, but we've tried something different. We looked as though we're doing okay.
Yeah, if you go into the game and you're showing signs of trying to be positive, I can sit here next week and go, right, okay, we've lost 4-0. However, we had 7 shots on target, we had 53% of possession, we were more on the front foot, we looked more dominant in periods of the game. You can sometimes accept that, but if we're sitting here next week and going, well, we had 1 shot on target, Airdrie bossed the game for 85 minutes, we didn't really do nothing until the last couple of minutes with a corner, then you're getting annoyed and frustrated because you're doing nothing to try and change your fortunes. It's almost like you're sitting there thinking something will happen for us. Go and make something happen and go and try and get the win.
And if we get absolutely pumped again, I would imagine that the talk of change would become more rampant then.
Yeah, I think the talk of change is going to be there until there is a change. I think that's where we're at. I think you could win one game and it'll be quiet, and then you'll maybe lose the next couple, and then there'll be that conversation of change out again. Again, the fans' frustration, you know, we're frustrated as well. We watch the team week in, week out, and it's a difficult watch at times. You're looking for your fortunes to change, but you can't just sit and wait for something to happen. You've got to try and make it happen on the pitch. And, you know, players and the manager are disappointed with what they're saying, but we've got to turn it around.
Okay, it is that time again on the podcast where I am joined by an opposition fan. I am joined this week by Airdrie supporter and a member of the Only the Lonely podcast as well. Emma, welcome to the Blue Team podcast. How are we?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad. Getting a bit more depressed as the weeks and as the season kind of goes on. But that's just the joys of football, is it?
That's the ups and downs, isn't it? Particularly in this league.
Oh yeah, it's a hard league. We were just speaking about it just before we started recording, but I guess you guys are maybe in that kind of mix of a bit as up and down more than anything else. How is your season going so far?
Yeah, I think that's probably exactly how to describe it. It's been a bit up and down. We had a really good start to the season. We're playing some kind of lovely stuff, and we're all, I think we had the first game of the season, actually, it was up at yourselves, took a trip up to Peterhead for that game, and then, you know, playing Falkirk, Queen of the South, we had a couple of really nice performances in the Cup, that game against St Mirren, and I think we all thought, oh, this is looking really good, and then we had that kind of 6-0 battering off Edinburgh City at home, and it's been a bit of a bumpy ride since then. And I think if you were to ask any Airdrie fan, you know, what they think the problem or where they think it lies, I think you'd probably get a different answer from everybody. I think it's quite difficult to put our finger on it, really. The performances can be so vastly different. We had a great performance against Montrose last week, and it was more like what we're used to seeing. And I never made the game on Saturday, but from talking to the fellow podcasters, it was kind of a bit of a kind of sticky game again. So, yeah, a difficult one to predict at the moment, Airdrie.
Is this all maybe come about because of the amount of changes in terms of what's happening in the summer? You know, manager moving on, not getting promoted through the playoffs last season. So maybe things have been a little bit more difficult this season than what you've maybe expected it to be?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've got a squad with a lot of youngsters in it, so you're going to get inconsistency there, you know, as players, as they learn, and I think you have to have patience with that and, you know, kind of understand that. And then obviously we've got, you know, the assistant manager and manager, you know, both are kind of first time in the job, so they're probably not going to get everything 100% right all the time either. But we've also had, you know, some injuries in there, which I guess kind of Deason and Dicey wouldn't have wanted. You know, we had Josh Ray come in from Queen of the South, obviously keeper, and everybody was, you know, great signing, but he got a shoulder injury kind of three, four games into the season. So we've had to chop and change with our keeper a little bit. Adam Frizzle, who's most Airdrie fans will say your star man, injured himself at the midweek game up at Montrose a few weeks ago, so he's been out. Cammy Valentine, who's another great signing in the summer, he had a couple of red cards, so that's impacted, you know, five or six games through either being sent off or suspension. So we haven't really quite had maybe the settled team that we thought we would, and then couple that maybe with the inexperience you've got in there as well. There's just a whole kind of load of things, but there's definitely some talented players in there, and when it clicks, it's great and it really, really works. And when it doesn't, it gets a hard day at the office.
It's so hard to get a run going as well, you know, three, four, five games in a row. It's so difficult.
Well, I think that's the thing as well. I think because we had that phenomenal run leading up to the end of last season where we ended up in the playoffs, you know, we were unbeaten, I think, from like the December right through to the end of the season. And that is rare, and that was an incredible effort from you know, the guys that played to get us there. So, but it's not generally the reality for League One, you know. Doesn't matter if you're at the top of the table or if you're at the bottom of the table. Anyone can get a result in that league on their day. Anybody can, even if, I know we were just chatting there, you guys are saying you're having a tough time of it, but I've got respect for every team in that league, and I never go into any game, even last season when we were on that run, thinking we're going to win this one, you know. I think that's just what can make it so challenging.
You mentioned the opening game of the season up at Ballymore. It was a 2-0 win to you guys. Fairly comfortable in the end, do you think, without having to do too much?
I think it was. I think it was a kind of typical kind of opening the season game. I think we've played better since then, but then we've also had performances that weren't the same, you know, that weren't up to that kind of standard. Try to remember back now to the game had from the time, but I think it was in terms of how we've been performing, probably in the kind of middle.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, as I say, that it's very difficult to predict what we're going to do on Saturday.
Just got to say, that would be the next question. Then, what kind of performance you think you'll get? I know it's obviously, because it's so up and down, it's difficult to kind of gauge what Airdrie team's going to turn up.
Yeah, well, we are up and down, but we are definitely better at home than we are away. We were chatting about that again kind of midweek. Like, you know, we've struggled away from home, but when we're at home, it's a big park, Broomfield, compared to some of the, you know, the away grounds you go to. I was through at Kelty and that kind of narrow, but we really struggled to break them down. But at home, we're much, much better, and I think we can probably play a bit more the way we want to play at home. So I would imagine we'll see a better performance out of them at home, just given the way things have gone this season.
You've actually got 26 goals, which is the most in League One, but defensively, the third worst defence. Does that kind of sum up your season? You know, you're scoring goals, but you're also conceding at the same time.
Yeah, it's not been dull. There's been plenty of goals. But I think that's what, you know, that was, to me, that's kind of key to League One. You've got to make yourself hard to beat first. And we weren't doing that. And some of the goals we were leaking were just really bad goals, you know. Individual errors, just creeping in. And, you know, we've had two clean sheets the last two games there. We've obviously had Cammy coming back into the side. So, for me, that was the biggest thing. I think before you look to win games was, you know, was just to tighten that up at the back. So I'm hoping with the two clean sheets, that's the start of that, try to settle down. Obviously, we brought in Dean Linus. I think it's till January, till Josh Foley gets over his injury. But I'm hoping that's starting to, he's settling in, and the back four are starting to settle into that a little bit.
And you've got, as you said, two clean sheets in the last two games, two wins now on the bounce as well. So does that give you a bit of hope that maybe that blip that you went through, five without a win, is now over? Or are you just still cautious that, you know, things are maybe just going to bite you in the bum again at some point?
Always cautious in this league. I've learned to never take it for granted. I do kind of feel like if they can just find their consistency, then, you know, we'll hopefully start to turn more of that around. And I think they just maybe needed their confidence back. I mean, my dad and I were kind of chewing over this a little bit, and we do kind of feel like it seemed to stem from that Edinburgh City game. Although we went out and beat Clyde 5-0 the next week, you know, wasn't a 5-0 game, but, you know, the guys finished really well, you know, deserved their goals. But we just feel like it all stemmed back to that, and something's maybe the confidence, but to us it felt like a lot of confidence went in that. So hopefully now that they've got the two wins, they've got the clean sheets, they've got the win without it being a particularly pretty game, hopefully that confidence starts to come back. And especially for the young guys, you know, they're feeling a bit more confident, and, you know, maybe take that into their performances at the weekend.
Must give you a bit of a boost knowing that you're winning games but without playing particularly well, though.
Yeah, although you do have to caveat that, you know, it's Clyde and they're having a tough time, and they've had a tough time. So, you know, I think if you had to say you're going to expect to win a game, it probably was the Clyde one, but the Montrose game was just was absolutely excellent. Mm-hmm. That game, maybe that was the difference. We were at home for that Montrose game and we were away. So it does seem to be this, if we could just try and maybe bring some of the what we're doing at home into the away games, then I think we'll do okay. I mean, I'm not sitting here thinking, you know, we're going to go on a massive run like we did last season. We're going to lose games between now and the end of the season. I can't really see at the moment anybody being able to take Dunfermline on currently. Mm. But we're just chatting. Obviously, you guys have been in the league a few years. You've been in it far too many years. I think we deserve some kind of a testimonial for how long we've been in been in League One. But it's very rare a team runs away with it or puts a run like that together from start to finish. There's always obviously there's a lot of football still to get played after January when teams are able to assess what they need and bring a few players in. So I think we'll probably still have a bit of a bumpy run up until maybe Christmas, January, but hopefully after that, maybe if we look in January, if we're able to bring anybody in, then I'd hope we can kick on from there.
Who's the star man? Who's the one man in the team that we should be looking out for on Saturday?
Lewis Jameson, he's been on a run. So he's a young loanee we've got in from St Mirren. So he scored his hat-trick against Montrose. He got his hat-trick there. He scored the goal on Saturday. It was at a penalty that rebounded and he netted it after that. And he got a nice goal up at Montrose. They'll get beat 4-2 that night. So he's starting to play really well, starting to find his confidence, working really well with Callum Gallagher, who is always going to pop up with a goal. I think most teams in the league probably rude Callum Gallagher at one point or another. So they're starting to play really well. I don't think we'll see Adam Frizzle back. I think he's still got quite a few weeks. So yeah, I think probably keep an eye on LJ and Gal.
Finally then, score prediction. What do you think it's going to be? You can be as brutal as you want.
Do you know, I am rotten at this. I'm absolutely rotten at predicting scores. I'm going to go for another 2-0. 2-0, Airdrie.
2-0. That would probably sum up how things are going with us. We just kind of score. We can't defend, so the likelihood is you're probably going to be pretty much bang on.
I'd wish you luck, but not too much. But are you coming down for it?
I am planning on coming down. So hopefully we can get down, because it'll be a long drive back up the road, as you maybe have experienced, but going the other way.
Yeah, so it's a great setup you've got up there, but God, it's a hell of a long way to go.
That's what you call dedication.
That's where I spent my birthday in February.
That's right, it's a good trip for your birthday, like.
It was snowing, it was freezing, and nobody was happy with me, but I had a great time.
On that note, I will thank you again for coming on. Pleasure to speak to you. I know we've spoken numerous times over social media, but it's just good to actually speak to you in person. And hopefully at some point again over the season, we'll maybe catch up and get you on again.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, safe travels to all the fans that are coming down from Peterhead, and I hope you enjoy your day and not too much.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
No worries.
So that is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it once again. Thank you to Emma from the Only the Lonely podcast for joining me, and to Martin Smith for being here as always. And of course, a big, huge thank you to you guys for listening. I've been Colin Byers. We'll be back again next week. So until then, stay safe and we'll see you again very soon.